Tuesday, March 6, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Conjecture and accusation, threats and posturing, DACA and tariffs. Mainstream media today has quite literally become the tabloids designed to keep you in a circular information stupor. It's not that DACA and trade wars are not important, quite the contrary. It's that reporting on what might happen or theorizing on the possible outcomes is not news. There is a place for it, as many watch for analysis, but all of the important news actually taking place right now is overshadowed by cherry-picked stories that in many cases have yet to develop, used to promote fear and division, and it's working. What about the incredibly contaminated water supply in the U.S., or just its increasingly deteriorating infrastructure? What about the drastically increasing opioid crisis, as well as the unaddressed benzodiazepine crisis or the psychiatric drug crisis, all getting worse despite feigned and hollow political gestures about stopping the problem they allowed to happen and allow to continue? What about the ongoing U.S. war of geopolitical control under the guise of spreading democracy, raging all across the world, that is taking untold and unprecedented civilian lives? What about the illegal U.S. occupation of sovereign nations all across the globe in the name of the American people and national security, while they have nothing to do with either? What about the horrendous environmental disaster that humanity has created with its thoughtless and corporate-controlled wastefulness? Or the shocking rate at which species are going extinct due to this continued willful ignorance of our daily and deadly effect on this planet? I could go on and on. Now, not all of these are breaking news, but the point I'm making is that all of these are events happening right now, to which many are still oblivious, and that is the plan. The mainstream media, or rather its controllers, want you focused on and engaged in, engrossed in, the partisan divide. They want you thinking about hypotheticals and arguing over things that all too often never come to pass, all while the real agenda is carried out right under people's noses. Yes, tariffs are important. Yes, the Second Amendment is very important. But why don't we wait until action is taken before we react emotionally, just as they had hoped? And in the meantime, might I suggest that the warmongering, profiteering, and negligent actions actually underway all around the world be covered by those who like to pretend to be journalists, as opposed to the government mouthpieces they have become, or maybe always have been. Yet we know that won't happen. So let's see what stands out today. First story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, breakthrough, North Korea ready to denuclearize, quote, if regime safety is guaranteed. Now, this is a very interesting story that is almost, it's interesting to see it come out like this, because this is something we've been covering for a very long time, presenting the fact that North Korea has on numerous occasions offered to denuclearize simply if the United States would stop taking provocative actions and carrying out drills that you pretend to decapitate the leader or invade the country. Yet every single time the United States chooses to completely ignore those and claim, almost pretend that they never even made the offer, claiming that they won't even listen to what they have to say until that they immediately respond to what the U.S. demands, which is just unreasonable and ridiculous when you realize that they're a sovereign nation that has rights to do what they want with their own country, despite what the United States has to say. So now this story is coming out saying that all of a sudden there's been a breakthrough. And this article in particular, which I was surprised to see from ZeroHedge.com, is framing it as if Donald Trump's success, that this was his success, that he created this situation where North Korea chose to denuclearize. I mean, that's absurd. Everything we've seen along the way has been everybody else trying to create some kind of semblance of peace and reconciliation while the United States has been doing everything in its power to stop that from happening, even just ignoring actually positive peace talks that have been taking place or all the positive steps that were taken at the Olympics, claiming they were some kind of a distraction or a manipulation. And now clearly we're seeing that that's not the case. But I'm curious to see how the United States responds to this, because now they're openly, the world is acknowledging the fact that they are openly acknowledging that they are going to denuclearize if their safety can be guaranteed. And we've touched on the idea of Libya and many other countries. Let's say Libya is the best example, because that's exactly what they did. They chose to bend to the will of the Western powers and denuclearize. And very next thing that happened was they were overthrown, and now they're openly selling slaves from Libya, and everyone's ignoring it as if that's not even a problem, despite the fact that the United States is directly responsible for creating the situation that is now a gross human rights violation, a humanitarian disaster. And yet it doesn't even matter. We're focusing on things that pertain to geopolitical agendas for the United States. So this is an interesting story to keep track of. I'm curious to see how the United States will respond to this, but my guess is it will continue to bend and manipulate the story to a way that the North Koreans are not adhering to what the United States is trying to create. And that's a fallacy from top to bottom. So keep track of this one. We'll get back to you on where it goes. The next story coming out of theantimedia.org, U.S. threatens to sanction Iraq if they buy Russian air defense instead of American. And this one's actually a couple days old, but it's an important story to point out because it shows you the kind of the error of the United States government and how they see the world and their control over it entirely. But ultimately, Iraq is considering buying S-400s. It's an advanced Russian-made air defense system, which is favored as both cost-effective and capable. But right now, instead of buying the pricier U.S. equivalent, the State Department is saying that there could be consequences, even going as far as to say that they will cast sanctions on Iraq, and saying that doing so, buying the Russian air defense system, would actually be a violation of U.S. law. This is just a baffling story to me because what ultimately we're seeing here, first side, is that most Americans aren't even aware that the United States government is the leading arms dealer in the world, which is such a contradiction to what they try to present. And again, when I get into these conversations, it always tends to sound like we're casting the United States as the big villain. The reality in my mind is that plenty of other governments are doing exactly the same nefarious, sinister type actions around the world. But as I am an American and we are broadcasting from the United States, I find that tends to be the focal point here. That's what makes this important. But the reality is that they are, in fact, the leading arms dealer in the world. And people don't understand that when we're talking about spreading peace and democracy. But the reality here is now that Iraq is choosing to buy something that's cheaper and better from the Russians, and it does actually play more into what their kind of geopolitical situation dictates. Nonetheless, the United States is stepping in and saying, no, you have to buy what we're selling. Otherwise, it's a violation of U.S. law, and we're going to cast more sanctions on you that will murder your civilian population. So this is just a very revealing story because the idea here is that the United States has no authority to do something like this. They have no ultimate control over the sovereignty of the Iraqi nation, but they're invaded and occupied that nation, so they feel that they have some kind of control over it. But what we're seeing here now is that they're forcing them, or rather trying to force them, to buy from the U.S. I mean, it's more of just another signal of the diminishing kind of geopolitical dominance of the United States government at the moment. You know, who knows where it's going to go from there, but this is an interesting case to see where Iraq will choose to go. Moving on to the next story coming out of theantimedia.org, FBI asks users if it should allow pedophiles to ask kids for sexual pictures. Now, this is shocking. This is something that people immediately kind of think this is a fake story or something. It can't be real, right? This is unheard of. This could never actually happen. But this is a real story. And there's a lot around this. There's a larger topic around this discussion in general. But ultimately what happened first with this case is that Facebook sent out a survey to many different people, essentially asking them their opinion of a certain question. But in this case, which they do all the time, but in this case, it had to do with some pretty controversial topics. Now, ultimately, what it said is it came out as a question saying there are a wide range of topics and behaviors that appear on Facebook. In thinking about an ideal world where you could set Facebook policies, how would you handle the following? A private message in which an adult man asks a 14-year-old girl for sexual pictures. That's actually what the survey said. Now, the options ranged from this content should be allowed on Facebook, and I would not mind seeing it, to this content should be allowed on Facebook, and no one should be able to see it, as well as the option to put no preference. And a follow-up question to ask users who the arbiter of such content and behavior should be. Answer options ranged from Facebook decides the rules on its own to Facebook users decide the rules by voting and tell Facebook. Others involved getting input from outside experts. Strangely, neither of the two questions gave survey takers the choice. to suggest that law enforcement should be alerted to the situation. So was this a mistake, a simple algorithmic error, as they might have us believe, or was this more of the New York Times type conditioning that we have been exposing for a long time now to normalize what is being revealed as one of the deepest, darkest secrets of the elite circles in this country, as well as other countries in the world, and quickly becoming yet another open secret that many are vaguely, if not revoltingly, aware of, yet choose to ignore, just as we are now seeing in Hollywood, a secret that has historically and verifiably been a part of elite circles throughout history, and that is pedophilia. How you choose to interpret this conditioning, this action, this mistake, if you will, is up to you. But I challenge you to consider how often such a mistake can truly happen. How often we can be told that these social media giants accidentally deleted certain political content, or how they accidentally censor only that which opposes their narrative. I think it is pretty clear there are no coincidences here. Yet in this day and age of social engineering, the question is, will you allow yourself to see it? So I take a look again at this survey and ask yourself if this was conditioning or if this was a simple, honest mistake. It's up to you to check it out. Next story coming out of the dailysheeple.com, Boy Scout leader released from prison after molesting boy 200 times. Now, I included this one again because it relates to the previous story, and it's something that it draws parallel to the exact same kind of idea, not the survey itself, but the idea that this is a systemic problem that is not only being conditioned to be something other than a crime, but something that is looked at and treated differently than so many less severe actions. Now, in this case, Joseph T. Mackey, who was a Boy Scout leader, was released from prison after serving only 4 months of a 5-month sentence. Now, first of all, think about that. This is a kid that was abused 200 different times. He was sodomized 200 times when he was a boy. And this guy only got a 5-month sentence. There are people in this country right now serving 20 to life for cannabis. And this guy got only 5 months. And obviously it draws parallel to the idea of Dennis Hassert, who only got a 4 to 15-month sentence, only served, I think, 13 months of that sentence. I mean, and this guy was called a serial child molester. These people are not being held accountable for their horrendous, sinister, the worst of worst in my mind, type of crimes. And that says something not only about our system, but the way that we enforce the laws around this crime says something about us as a society and how we're allowing such things to take place. Now, a lot of that's just conditioning and the fact that we're pacified by so many other things. But for me, this stands out as showing us that there is something, whether it's people being manipulated to do this or to rather not enforce the rules here, or if it's something even further than that, where the people in all walks of life are infiltrated to some degree, or rather all of our societal structures and legal systems have been infiltrated by the very people that allow this to happen. It's a shocking thing to see, but I think it's something that we need to begin to recognize, how someone like this, who's such a horrendous crime, can only get 5 months and only serve 4 months of it, while we have people for very minimal crimes doing a lot longer time. That speaks volumes to me. The child victim in question actually said, quote, "As a seemingly trusted medical professional, scout, and community leader, he knew what I needed as a young child and chose to take whatever he wanted from me. I was robbed of normalcy and a normal adolescence. At age 11, he was raped over 200 times. Now think about that, and think about how this pertains to what we were just talking about with the Facebook idea, and how this guy got released early, 4 months, just a brief stint for ruining this child's life. And now think about how the conditioning taking place to kind of normalize this idea. There's something going on there. That's all I'm going to leave it with right now. But I think it's something, if you're interested to find out more about the story, you should check out The Last American Vagabond or someone like The Honeybee. Melissa Zachariah does some excellent work on this, exposing the reality that this is not just some conspiracy theory. This is something that's been going on and it's been slowly exposed, but I would say to a large degree, exposed to a certain like release valve level to get people to back off and expose Hollywood for its sexual harassment of adults, when in reality, there is a deeply seated pedophilic nature going on in these elite circles that we've exposed pretty damn clearly, but yet people continue to ignore. So take a look and really open your mind to the reality that there's some pretty terrible things going on that we're not paying attention to. Moving on to the final story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, these 35 minerals are absolutely critical to U.S. security. A draft list of 35 critical minerals was released on February 16, 2018, as the result of President Trump's Executive Order 13817, which asked the U.S. Department of the Interior and the Secretary of Defense to publish a list of mineral commodities that are vital to U.S. interests. Under the executive order, a critical mineral is defined as a non-fuel mineral or mineral material essential to the economic and national security, that's important, of the United States, to supply chain of which is vulnerable to disruption. The list includes minerals that are important for defense, economic, and industrial purposes, and it keys in especially on minerals that are not produced in substantial quantities domestically. Now, this is a very important one that I think this article in and of itself is kind of innocuous. It talks about just the important minerals and the fact that this was discussed and that there's a list of them where they are in the world, but this stands out to me as very important because we've seen a lot of different things happen in Congo and Africa in general for a very long time, in places like Syria and Afghanistan and many others where minerals seem to be a focus. We recently saw the article from Afghanistan talking about how the United States is now going to be mining minerals to compensate for its efforts there. It's which we know has been something they've been doing all along. Very revealing. But to me, this stands out, the point that they label this as a national security point. That's something we've talked about quite a bit. And whenever something threatens the idea of U.S. national security, all law goes out the window. Oh, well, we're being threatened, so we have to proactively defend ourselves. So it's very interesting. We've seen this happen so many different times. And the excuse is always just kind of, okay, well, yeah, there's a national security, so we have to, right? But it's everything, U.S. law, international law just goes right out the window. And now that we've labeled these as a national security, I have no doubt that we're going to see this used in a way to basically manipulate this as a way to invade other countries for these minerals because it's a national security interest. Now, the point in this is it highlights where these minerals come from, and how much of them and how rare they are. And a lot of them have to do with things like electronics, cell phones, batteries. Cobalt is an important one that comes out of the Congo that we've written about many times. And the idea that a lot of this stuff is very under the radar. We have, proxy wars and coups where we don't even understand what's going on over there are happening so they can put a U.S. puppet in place to be able to manipulate those minerals. And we're seeing this play out right in front of us in a lot of different ways. But I would say the fact that this is labeled the national security aspect is something that's going to be relevant, which is why I bring it up. So it's important to pay attention to, and it's something that we need to continue to acknowledge and discuss so it doesn't get completely wiped away by all of the nonsense happening inside the mainstream media every day in front of our eyes all across the country. So really what this all comes down to is we need to begin to recognize and openly acknowledge that the vast majority of foreign and domestic moves that the U.S. has made over the years have been in large part, if not entirely, aimed at maintaining U.S. preeminence. All of the falsities about spreading liberty and democracy and maintaining world security, all the deceptions about riding to the rescue of some oppressed local population, all the lies about preemptive self-defense, as if that term has any logical rationale, all the false flags, the psychological operations designed to cultivate a militarized and strike-first mentality within the American mindset, were all manipulations carried out with the primary goal of maintaining U.S. hegemony, while simultaneously stopping the progression of any other nation that stood to even slightly challenge the future of the current yet diminishing stranglehold the U.S. has on world policy. Once you can see this truth, acknowledge it, you can begin to break down the intense conditioning that keeps certain facts hidden from recognition, even when obvious to those who have already broken free. Recognize this reality, and their chess game of human life unravels in front of you, and from there, change can truly begin. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.